Three pins in the garland. Reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 13, Dhritarashtra quits home. And we're reading text 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Kaya Vrijavartitam Vas. Karadhi Shitti Mandalam. Chitani Shikcha Mukhyani. Devitani Habutale. Kaya Vicha Vartitam Vas. Karadhi Shitti Mandalam. Tirtani Shitti Mukhyanti. Devitani Habutale.
You can read the word meanings together. Kaya, by which, vijja means, vartitam, maintained your livelihood, vaha, your good self, charadbhi, while traveling, shitti mandalam, on the surface of the earth, tirthani, place of pilgrimage, shitra mukhyani, the principal holy places, sevitani, served by you, Iha, in this world, Bhutale, on this planet. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. While traveling on the surface of the earth, how did you maintain your livelihood? At which holy places and pilgrimage sites did you render service? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Vidura went out from the palace to detach himself from household affairs, especially political intrigues. As referred to here and before, he was practically insulted by Duryodhana's calling him a son of a Sudrani, although it was not out of place to talk loosely in the case of one's grandmother. Vidura's mother, although a Sudrani, was the grandmother of Duryodhana, and funny talks are sometimes allowed between grandmother and grandchildren. But because the remark was an actual fact, it was unpalatable talk to Vidura and was accepted as a direct insult. He therefore decided to quit his paternal house and prepare for the renounced order of life. This preparatory stage is called Vanaprastha Ashram, a retired life for traveling and visiting the holy places on the surface of the earth. In the holy places of India, like Vrindavan, Hardwar, Jagannath Puri, and Prayag, there are many great devotees, and there are still free kitchens for persons who desire to advance spiritually. Maharaj Yudhisthira was inquisitive to learn whether Vidura maintained himself by the mercy of the three kitchen houses, Kshatriyas. So we're reading about the prominent sage, as was described yesterday, Mahatma Vidura. He's definitely known as a great instructor of wonderful maxims. I have one book from India, it's The Maxims of Vidura. Always giving good instructions and at the same time always being the perfect example of those instructions. So he's worthy of us listening careful to these verses that he is going to direct towards his half-brother Dhritarashtra. So here they're all excited about him returning from his pilgrimage. We can also kind of reflect on that because whenever someone comes back from Vrindavan, we want to, like, oh, got some dust on your feet, start the dust on there, and we try to put it on. Because it is very powerful to go on pilgrimage because you meet up with so many wonderful devotees in holy places, and you can also render service there and preach. So they're all excited to hear, you know, where'd you go? What'd you do? And please give us some nice stories. It's interesting how Maharaj Yudhisthira is concerned about his eating, what it was like to eat when you're out there all by yourself. I know that whenever we would take our girls on pilgrimage to India, they knew each place by what they ate. They could remember every event by what was served. So it is an important thing how we maintain these bodies and honor the Lord's prasadam. I was in Los Angeles, it must have been like 1972 or something like that, and Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and I was sitting there listening, and only a couple of groups had been to India at that time. 1970, pick a group, and there's the famous ones, I think in 71 or something, with the devotional, nectar devotion classes in Vrindavan. But not too many people had been to pilgrimage. But I remember him saying, he says, I want all my disciples to go regularly to India, become enlivened, come back, and preach. So this was a medicine that Prabhupada insisted that we take on a regular basis because it is a very powerful program to go and absorb transcendental knowledge and vibration from the holy places. So here Vidura is returning. Many incidences, as we're reading here, of the insults, led up to his actually being kicked out of the palace pretty much, leaving and going on pilgrimage. And him also wanting to just get out of this whole political scene at the palace, all this intrigue. Prabhupada went through a very similar thing with his incident of the tea or me, with his wife more or less pushing him out the door, and Krishna's plan also to come and save the entire world. So we are so fortunate that that happened. And I think the residents here are feeling very fortunate that such a great soul has come back and now ready to give him their association. So Krishna has a bigger plan for all civilized human beings on the planet, and it's the Varnashram plan. And amongst that are these different ashrams of life. And here it's discussing the Vanaprastha stage, which for probably many of the persons listening right now, it is applicable and relevant. At least for myself and a few others I see sitting here, that at a certain time in one's life, one will naturally want to renounce so many material duties and responsibilities and hone in, concentrate on elevating themselves spiritually. It just happens with the body, that you just don't want to have to deal with so many material things anymore. We just don't want to hear a million kids. We just want to simply think of Krishna, and at least simplify your life so that you don't have so many anxieties and you're more peaceful and can read and absorb on a different level, which the soul is hankering for so much. We're hankering to just be able to be absorbed in Krishna. But then you look at the little asterisk and you go down on the little details of the renounced order of life. What do you read? Eating berries, bark for clothes, living under trees, and it's like, whoa, not for me. You know, this is not what I'm ready for at all. Maybe something like, more like the Bhaktivinoda mood, where you stay with your wife and you do some duties and you read and you chant. And of course, he was in such an elevated stage that he made so many contributions to the world in his achievements in spiritual life. And then at the very end, you know, the very last bit, then you take some last samadhi and you're out of here. Of course, this is not the easiest thing for a normal person to do. But the tree bark and the eating of berries, it's just not meant for this age. It's not very attractive, and we don't see people lining up to take vanaprastha, that's for sure. Now there's a nice midway idea. I think of a couple of couples in this community that have thought of downsizing to the size of an RV and going out and taking a good 6 months of the year and going out and preaching, going to campsites where people are, you know, more inclined to hear and looking for answers, and going to different temples and preaching. So this is also an alternative. You can go with your wife, without your wife. And so this is innovative and maybe become a little bit more popular. And it's not really the dress, you know, having to take vanaprastha, you know, wear simple clothes and everything, but it's actually the mentality of wanting to respond to your natural desire to serve Krishna and make it much easier for you. It's a very important move that we have this mentality in the later years of our life. I know that Srila Prabhupada, I think he even was in tears when he had asked somebody, what are these old people doing out here? And it was a golf course. And they said, well, they took this little $1.25 ball, goes into a hole, and this is what they do. And then Prabhupada was just like, fag end of your life, and this is what you're going to do. Or go to the nudie places, you know, you're old, and you go there to try to enjoy. I was raised in a golfer's family, and I watched my parents at the end of their life. That was their whole life. And as soon as my father couldn't do it anymore, out of here. He died, because that was their whole life. What a waste, you know, just hitting a ball around. So this is something that Prabhupada has arranged in ISKCON. He favored that the temples in Vrindavan and Mayapur have vanaprastha facilities. I think they do now. I don't know how good they are or how well they're attended, but he could see that some people, and when they're older, they're going to want to retire, and this would be a very nice place in the Holy Gaon. But we can also see Prabhupada's example was, he wasn't ready for retirement at the end. He was ready to be on the front line, distributing the mercy. And he did that to his last dying days. But for other people, it might very well be a good thing to consider this type of a end-of-life arrangement. But I think those who are approaching that age actually have some fear about it, that you're going to have to leave your comfort zone, possibly, and that maybe you are going to get sick, and who's going to take care of you? And maybe if you're abroad or somewhere, what about that Social Security check? Is it going to come in the mail? Am I going to get it? So these are things that go through one's mind because it is a practical situation. But Varnashram is also very practical. So there are different ways that one can be taken care of by, especially by the devotees. But I think the greatest fear is that we're going to feel very worthless, that you're no longer of much service, you can't do as much as you wanted and want to do. And so this is, something that we have to go through mentally, but realize that it is the devotional mentality that is really there, and that Krishna has a plan for all of us, and that if we keep the mind engaged in Krishna's service, that that this is what is going to be pleasing to the soul and to the Supreme Lord. There's a cute little skit. I haven't seen it done in a long time, but it's about the marriage party, and there's a party of people, they're all excited to get married, and they need to go upstream for a few hours to do all these ceremonies and have a big whoop-de-doo. And so they arrange, in India especially, traveling was done by boat, so they hire a boat, and it's very typical in India, is that, oh, no problem, just go to sleep, when you wake up, you'll be there. So if you've ever been on a train in India, they do that. And the sound of the train, oh, so easy to sleep, right? So these people got on a boat, and the sound of the paddling, immediately put everyone to sleep. And so then they, as soon as the dawn arose, they wake up, and they look out, and the people are still paddling and everything, and everyone looks, and they haven't gone anywhere. Because why? They didn't pull up the anchor. So it is important that the attachments, these anchors that we have, do get pulled up at some point so we can go forward in our spiritual life. Because life can have an abrupt ending. Just before coming here, I looked on Facebook and there was a videotape of the cremation that's going on in India. It was unbelievable to watch. It was just amazing, just one after another after another, hundreds and hundreds of fires, and this was like going on right at this moment all night long, and just people were sitting next to their friends' corpses waiting to be in line. Really a frightening thing. So we never know. So it is important that we pull up that anchor at some point. But we have to make sure that we have some arrangement there to have good association, like-minded association. Whenever you're changing ashrams, you have to have like-minded association to help you to actually be that ashram or that shelter. Bharat Maharaj, he didn't. He went off on his own, and then he got in trouble because he got attracted to that deer. He dropped the anchor again. So it is important to make some plans for our material retirement, but not retire spiritually. We have to elevate ourselves and engage more in the nine processes of devotional service. Because unfortunately, Maya doesn't retire. She doesn't have a retirement program. And she's got lots of choices for us to do, even in our old age. You can get another degree, right? You can get another spouse. You can get that cruise that you've always wanted to do, go around the world. You can get the dream house, right? Spend all your money and get that perfect house that you wanted. So there's many of choices that Maya has for us. So we have to make sure that we owe it to the soul this lifetime to pull up all the anchors and to splash water in Maya's face and say, forget it. This lifetime, I'm going to finish up my business and get out of here. So it does take cooperation to renounce life. One chooses that, and hopefully on milk at some point in their life, with the family members, especially the wife has to be taken care of. And usually at that time, the other family members are pretty much on their own. But the better half is there to give encouragement, that's for sure. I'm reading in the Bhagavatam at night about Bali Maharaj. And his wife, his name is Vidyavali, I believe. And after Bali Maharaj had been captured by the associates, Vamadeva came and he actually ordered to bind up Bali Maharaj, right? And so Bali Maharaj was a little bit proud because he'd surrendered. I surrendered, look at it, I even put my head, I surrendered my body, everything. And then Vidyavali comes up and goes, shakes his finger and goes, you think you're so great. All these kings, all these people in great prominent positions, they always think they're great. And so you think you've surrendered this and you've surrendered that, and you've surrendered your body. It's not even yours anyway. You like, blasted. Oh, that was really good. And so, yeah, we need sometimes the help of the better half to help us move forward in our realizations of that we're not this body. Also in that pastime, Bali Maharaj was unable to pay his respects properly to Vamadeva because the circumstances with his spiritual master, Supacharya, there. But in his mind, he was actually, you know, bowing down and surrendering and offering his respects like this. And Krishna accepted that. So it's not like physically maybe we have to renounce, but anyway, Prabhupada says in the purport that Krishna takes the essence of the devotional mentality of the devotee. So that's what we should be working on. Working all the time on how to develop that devotional mentality. And if you don't have it, you better get one, because you need it. Because this is where our advancement is. But in all ashrams, we have to work on that devotional mentality. And expect that it's going to take some surrender. In every ashram, there's surrender and there's austerities. And we need that pinch. Otherwise, we do get too comfortable here. And it might make it that we have to come back again. As I said, it could be just a short time we have. So we really don't have any excuses. We should try to work on the devotion and go forward. And not be stubborn. Like Dhritarashtra. Here, Dhritarashtra was actually, he was pretending to still be the king. Actually, Yudhisthira would call him king because he felt sorry for him, and because he still thought he was kind of king. That's how stubborn he was. But see how stubborn we are. That we still think, somehow or other, we still think that I'm going to enjoy somehow. I'm a little bit in control here. I'm going to squeeze a little bit of pleasure out while I'm still here. We still are so stubborn in our minds. So we don't want to be left with that mentality. So we should take the instructions as best we can and as honestly as we can to, after the age of 50, Prabhupada said, to begin to take baby steps anyway towards that that mentality. And it might be that, you know, take a week off from the family, go somewhere and preach. Take a month off, go somewhere and go on pilgrimage with or without your wife. And so this can develop that renunciation, which is so important in our spiritual life. This is, I think they're called the golden years. Is this the golden years when you're old? I can't remember. Something, is it? Supposed to be? Anyway. The golden avatar has given us a golden opportunity to actually really concentrate on chanting, no matter what ashram we are or what age we are. Because this is what really purifies and brings out that desire, which is so important, to change the mentality from being attached to being detached. So the the instructions of the spiritual master to chant 16 rounds a day minimum, and to always be chanting, at least in your mind, is the real crux of the matter, is that we take this seriously and try to finish up this lifetime in a very civilized human and spiritual way. And as far as ladies, the renounced order of life, be smart. Invest. You've got an investment in your husbands, because whatever spiritual advancement they make, you get a little bit out of it. So encourage them to become more advanced, and take that little extra bonus point. And as far as when they decide to go on pilgrimage, like Vidura here, you can take that as a wonderful opportunity to simplify your lives and intensify your attachment to Krishna. Remember one time, I got out of line somehow or other, and Hiranyananda Maharaj was my temple president at that time in Houston, and he took me aside and said, you know, in a woman's body, he says, just simply, you've got it so easy. He said, just sit back, let the men do the drive, and you sit back and read Krishna book. That's all. So this might be a time when you can actually just sit back and read Krishna book, or else go out and preach. Take every opportunity you can to tell others about Krishna. Distribute this mercy. And this is also an austerity, but which Krishna says, as they surrender to me, I reward accordingly. So you can also reap the benefits of going out and preaching, not having to worry about kids to worry about, not having to worry about husband or eating or anything. You can just do it very simply. And one thing I did observe here is that Vidura did a lot of preaching to Dhritarashtra and to family members for many, many years. And then he took his break, and he came back with a lot of Shakti, because when he came back, the family members, like we see here, they're very excited to see him. They figure he's back, you know, now he's back. But he's only there for a few days. He doesn't stay very long. But he has so much potency that he's able to really move Dhritarashtra out. He really had an effect. So that time when he was gone, he was given potency by Krishna. We saw it in Srila Prabhupada too. Just making that move to come to America, what shock did he got? And Prabhupada recognized it in his prayers that now you've got to help me, Krishna. You've got to help me change the mentality of this Western countries. And he did. Krishna worked through him. And here, Krishna is working through Vidura. So we should see that as a possibility, that the more we do surrender to Krishna, the more the loose ties are broken, the tight ties become loosened, then we can begin to feel Krishna's mercy coming through that. And we have so many roles now that we have, so many different coverings we have. We were kids, we were just little kids being controlled by our mothers, and then we took the role of students, and then we took a role of being a parent, and then we took a role of being a grandparent, and then finally we can shed all those roles, and what's left? The naked truth, that we're just as simple as servant of the servant of Krishna, and we can just be free to serve whatever way we can. And so we have to get knocked on the head by Vidura's instructions here, so that we aren't stubborn and end up here for another lifetime of roles. But we first-class intelligent. We hear these instructions coming up from Vidura, even though they might taste a little sandy in our mouth, not so sweet. But we should take it to heart, that we pull up the anchor and go sailing towards Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. So maybe someone else would like to add or come. Since we all are there someday, before we know it, at this point in our life. Anybody have any doubts, complaints about the Guru's instructions? Yes? I don't think I understand. Vidura was, he was pretty much kicked off.
Vibhishan, when his brother did not follow his instruction, so he left his brother and went to Ram, and he surrendered him. Vidura, his brother did listen, same thing happened. But then he didn't join with Krishna, he just left
him. He went to the holy places. He was He wanted out of politics. He wanted as far as he could get from politics. Krishna was very entwined in the politics there. I mean, he had to represent himself, saying, you know, no more war, you know. So Krishna was very involved. And he just wanted out of the whole scene.
And, I really love Krishna the way he is, whether he's in politics or not. Just
do what's favorable. Reject this unfavorable. So he saw that this was the best thing. And for Vibhishan, he saw no hope with Ravan. He wanted out. It was a dangerous situation for him. And so, so you have to accept what's favorable. And that should be our mood also, what's favorable. Kitchen house. I don't know. I think they still exist. Like in our temples, we have more or less had prasadam distribution every day. It's available for people that come by. But I think in India, there's actually, maybe you're from there, there's actually places in the holy places where they give free food. You can go by there at any time of day or night, and they give you food. So these are common. People who don't have to, you know, worry about those things because the kitchens are there. So it's a nice facility. Have you ever experienced that?
No, but I heard a lot about it. Yeah. Like every person that needs to go on the pyramid, on the lake, they used to have these houses where people can rest and they will have food. If they are really taking gifts and donations, they can't this. So that's tradition.
Yeah, it's probably either the temples or donations come in, and they have that facility. Wherever you go, you can get free food, and that's nice. That's what it should be like. That's why Prabhupada in our temples said that we should feel like we can go there at any time and retire, and we'll be taken care of. So I don't know if it's completely set up yet or not, but it definitely is. Eating is a big part of lives. The women definitely know about this. There's a lot of hours in the kitchen, and as you get older, you want to spend less and less and less. And to the point where, you know, I eat things 3 or 4 days, the same thing, and after that I can't eat anymore. But because I just don't want to cook. And it's a very common problem in people that live by themselves. That I know you'd open my mother's refrigerator and there would be things in there for days that she'd get from downstairs and you'd get so many things and after a while you don't want to cook at all and then you don't even want to eat anymore. So it's a real problem a lot of people because get tired being in the kitchen. So it's nice at the temples. Here we offer a nice lunch. You can come up here in the front of the temple at any, you know, during the hours and get a nice lunch. So, Prabhupada. encouraged us to cook plenty so that there was enough for everybody. So we don't have to be bothered. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.